Let's turn together to Psalm 62 and read the entire psalm. We hope to focus at verse 8. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are too altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. As far God heard to us tonight. Dear congregation, it's in the Psalms that we look into the heart of the child of God. It's in the Psalms that we see how children of God go often through seasons that they don't understand in their lives. Seasons in which God teaches us to trust him and him alone. Seasons in which we learn to be close to God, to cleave unto him no matter what. In which we open up our hearts to him. In which we learn to be intimate with him. In which we, out of our weakness, find strength. Strength from above. Strength that we didn't have. Prayer Day 2021. Perhaps you look around and you see things around you. Your problems in the world. We can easily point to this one or that one. The challenges may be in your family. Maybe physical, maybe spiritual, maybe emotional struggles that you struggle with, maybe for a long time already, burdens that you carry. Maybe some don't know anything about it. Others might be known to others, and others are praying for you. Needs in the church, an uncertain future. And of course, tonight we also think about our physical needs. God would give another season in which we reap a harvest to sustain us, food and drink and everything that we need. What do we do when we face things like this, when we have these troubles and instabilities in our lives and distresses and challenges? Well, tonight we have a beautiful exhortation from Psalm 62, verse 8. And we are called to prayer. That instrument that God gives us. That instrument that God is pleased to listen to. That instrument, that gift of God that he can help us by the Holy Spirit to use and wield for his glory. He calls us to trust. As we pray, he calls us to trust, and he calls us to hide in him. To hide in him. That's what Psalm 62 verse 8 is all about. That's what David, as it were, says to us tonight. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So we would like to focus on that middle sentence specifically, but we will draw in from the entire psalm and also from this verse at appropriate times. Yeah, so this is our focus. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. And we are going to ask a few questions, children, young people, simple questions. What does it mean to pour out your heart? Who needs to do that? How do we do that? We can learn something from this psalm. And when do we do that? We are going to look at an example of someone who does it. And then finally, why? Why should we and why can we pour out our hearts before him? I think we all know, children, what pouring out is, right? We have maybe a container, maybe two containers, and maybe children sometimes play with water. They love to play with water, and they take one container and they pour it in another. So David thinks about prayer in this psalm, and that's what he thinks about. Maybe he thought about a jug of water, that he takes the water and he pours it empty. It needs to be poured out. Maybe the picture is also that his heart is full. There's too much pent up in his heart. There's those days. It needs to be emptied. And when it's staying in the heart, it can overwhelm us. It's too much for us. We can't handle it. It will overflow. It will feel like it overflows us. That's why David encourages us and God's people tonight, ye people, pour out your heart before him. Come with everything to him, with your intense emotions, with your lament, with your cries, with your pleas, unburden your heart before him and find rest in his presence. Psalm 102 verse 1 says it like this, the prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Did you hear that, children? Someone is overwhelmed. David is overwhelmed. He feels afflicted. And then what does he do? He comes to the Lord and he pours out his complaint. And he urges the Lord, come and listen to this, please. I need thee. I need thee every hour, every moment. In Psalm 142, we hear something similar. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him all my trouble. It's as if David is saying, Lord, this, look at it. And he holds nothing back. Now, what does the text say? Pour out your heart before him. We are often tempted to look around and say, oh, this person needs to help me. And it is good to have people that listen to us and to listen to our complaints, and that is certainly what we should be doing with one another. But David says, is your first place to go to tonight? Is that the Lord? And the most important place to, is that the Lord? Pour out your heart before him. With all your problems, with all your complaints, with all your joys, with everything. You may come and unburden yourself. And when we look at this psalm in verse 3 and 4, we see that David has encountered some untrustworthy people in his life. He speaks about mischief and lies and hypocrisy. In verse 9 and 10, he speaks about another reason. Surely men of high degree are vanity, and men of low degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. So what does David say? He says it's easy to be disappointed in people. We must not look too much to people. We must trust in the Lord. People are weak and frail. That's the one expression there, low degree. Weak and frail people, sons of Adam. Or people of high degree, That's the high and the noble people. But when God is going to weigh them in the balance, and he's going to compare them with himself, what do you think, children? Where is the balance going? Whether people are important, yes or no, or whether they are weak and frail. When you have a balance, just like a seesaw, it is going to tip this way. All the people are lighter than a feather compared to the glory and the weight of God. God is so much more trustworthy. God is so much more able to help us. Verse 10 shows us that when we look at the strong and important in our society, what are we often looking at? Oppression, robbery, riches, all those things. And those things are vain too, empty. They can't help us either. And how often we are tempted to trust in those things. But we will be disappointed when we trust in man or those kind of things. And David says to us tonight, no, there's a much better way. A way when you do, by the grace of God, learn this way, you will not be disappointed. How do we do that? We pour out our heart before him, before the Lord. And this phrase, before him, means that we come into his presence, his very presence, before his face. It carries this idea, we are welcome to come to the Lord. We can come, and we may come into his presence. And it has this idea that God, when we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going to be gracious to us. That when we come and take refuge in him and we hide ourselves in the cleft of the rock, in that greater rock, Jesus Christ, he's going to hear us. He's going to hear our complaints. He's going to hear our joys. He's going to hear our thanksgivings. He's going to hear everything. Everything. We may come to bring and pour out our heart and find mercy and grace and help in our time of need. In our time of need. Now, isn't it often the case that we come to the Lord with this wrong idea that as if we need to persuade God to be merciful and gracious? But the truth is, he is merciful and he is gracious. That is his very being. And he delights to show us mercy and he waits to be gracious. He can show us favor. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we plead that precious name, that name is known in heaven. The name of his dear Son, it's like music in the Father's ear. That's why we are allowed to come into his presence. But maybe you look too often horizontally, or you look inside and you say, I? And that brings us to the second question, who? Who should pour? We can understand of David. We read about David, and he's a godly man. He's a man after God's own heart. Yes, of course, David is able to come. Don't forget that David was a sinner like you and me. He had to write one day and pour out his heart in Psalm 51, repenting. But David had learned to pour out his heart with all his difficulties, and often he felt utterly helpless. Do you sometimes feel like that? Utterly helpless. Needy. Think about David, children. Chased from one place to the next by Saul through the country. I will die, he says. I will die one day in the hands of Saul. And God has promised, no, you won't die. And yet he thinks, You see how weak he often was, and how he needed to pour out his heart. And this psalm is probably written when Absalom rose up against him. He was taking his kingship from him. That seems to be the occasion of this psalm. And before David calls others, then he knows what it is to pour out his heart. Pour out his heart and to flee for refuge. He shows that he has learned in trials and troubles and tribulations that the help of man, in this psalm he's saying, the help of man compared to the power and the mercy of God, the help of man is utterly worthless compared to. And so he says to us in verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. And in verse 5 he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Sometimes this psalm is called the only psalm, because there's several words that is like 6 times in this psalm there's only. Sometimes it's translated surely or truly. And other times it's called as translated as only. But he says, wait only upon God. That's where he found his stability. He had found his rest, and that waiting means quietly waiting for God. Just as we sang in the beginning, my soul in silence waits for God. As with a trusting heart, with a heart that is quieted. Now, where did he learn that? Well, through all the difficulties, through all the trials. He learned to trust the Lord and to pour out his heart. So what do we learn? Who are the people that can pour out their hearts and may learn to pour out their hearts and may come and are welcome in the presence of the Lord? People like you and me that learn more and more. With David, that trusting in man is vain. Have we learned that? People who often find ourselves in difficulties and trials and troubles and don't know how to handle things. Have we learned that then to come and to pour out all our complaint before the Lord? But not only those. Because he says, ye people. Is he excluding anybody? No, he's not. He's saying, I have found this the best way. This gives me stability, and I desire that you get that same stability, and how we need that. He says, ye people. He means that we all may learn to pour out our hearts before the Lord. Children, you may do that too. You may do that too. There might be times in your life when you have something that bothers you, or maybe you're frustrated about something, what do? You run to your parent and you start talking. Many words. Pouring out your heart. And other times you might cry loudly or softly, and you're pouring out your heart. But there's also other times, right? And you just quietly come to the Lord. Or to your mom or dad, rather. And that's a picture. You may flee for refuge. And you may come with whatever bothers you. Just as you come to your parents. Children, that's what you may do too. All you people. That's you too. That's you too. Ask your parents, maybe, if you find it difficult to say to the Lord what you want to say. I have to ask them to help and pray with you. And never forget that Jesus is the one who welcomes little children. And he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. So you're included too. You may come. And you would pour your heart before the Lord. Young people, you are included too. What troubles your life? What temptations do you face? Do you struggle with difficult and dark thoughts, perhaps depression or sin, or difficulties in relationships, friendships. Maybe sometimes you feel worthless. What do you do? What do you do? Where do you go? This psalm says, all ye people, you young people, you too, you may come. You may pour out your heart. You may bring it all to Him. In whatever stage of life we are, whether we're singles and we feel lonely and misunderstood, maybe not often, maybe we feel that we don't belong at certain times, pour out your heart before the Lord. He says, welcome. Welcome. I can help you. In my presence, there is joy. In my presence, there is comfort. In my presence, there is strengthening. And David is exhorting couples, middle-aged parents, grandparents, seniors, whether you're in the middle of your life or whether you're close to the end of your life and you look at the Jordan of death maybe in the face and you say, Lord, how? The last enemy is going to come for me. Pour out your heart before Him. Whoever we are, whatever position we are, whether we're unemployed or employed or an employer, it doesn't matter. Whatever task we have in life, that's not important. The Lord wants us to come and pour out our hearts. Our hearts. It's about our hearts that come before the Lord. You see? He looks at our hearts when we pour out our hearts. It doesn't matter whether you have a lot of assurance or a little assurance. If you know that you're a man or a woman after God's own heart or not, if you feel weak or all you people, pour out your heart before the Lord. If you are a human being tonight, created in the image of God, if you are a human being in need of any type of salvation, any type of help in times of trouble, but especially you may pour out your heart for the salvation of your soul and for your heart, for the cleansing of your heart. Come, pour out your heart before the Lord, whether you're saved or unsaved. We all need this. And God is a gracious God and welcomes the needy and those who have no helper. And He says to us in His word, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Him. Pour out your heart with whatever you ever is bothering to you tonight. But you say, how can I pour out my heart? Well, this pouring out of our heart, just as when you have a jug of water, children, you empty it, and you empty it all the way, and you let it all go, and all flow out. You don't hold anything back. So are we able, and so the Lord is instructing us to come to Him. Hold nothing back. Our needs, our burdens, our cares, our sorrows, our certainties, our worries. How many times are we worrying? Bring them with thanksgiving, prayer, and the peace of God. Through Christ Jesus, can guard our heart and mind. God is able to help. God is able to listen. He is the only one who truly can help us. And He alone is able to receive it all. Think about it this way. Our hearts may be overwhelmed, and when we are listening to other people, sometimes it's too much. We can't handle it. But who is God? God is the infinite one. That means He is a spirit who has no boundaries. He is everywhere. And He is all powerful. And He never ever grows weary. And when we come honestly pouring out our heart, He never has to say, well, this is too much. I can't handle it anymore. He will never come to that point. That's impossible. For with God, all things are possible. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too complex for Him. So you may come holding nothing back. Your doubts, your fears, your anxieties, even your sins like bitterness, hardness of heart, or your anger, or your frustration, whatever it is. Look at the Psalms. They come and bring it all to Him. And they come, and that's the second thing, holding nothing back. And secondly, honestly. That's the Holy Spirit who works that in us. We come honestly. It's not to impress others. Think about the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee could word it all so well. But the tax collector, what could he say? He couldn't say more than, Lord, be merciful unto me. But he poured out all his heart. And that's what matters. And it was honest before the Lord. He didn't hold anything back. And how did he go home? He went home justified because God was pleased with his prayer. He was honest. He poured it out. It doesn't matter how many words we really say. It's about our hearts. So there can be a groan. There can be a sigh. And he understands. He knows it. He hears it. Even when we don't know how to express what's all in our hearts. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need even before we ask. He's all-knowing. Even our greatest need, our biggest request. Let's remember this one too. Our greatest request, our most difficult and impossible request, compared to His almighty power, power belongs to me. Compared to His almighty power is a very tiny little request. It's nothing for Him. He can do, as it were, snap His finger, and it happens. It's a very tiny little request. Everything that we pray, compared to who He is. And how often we need to relearn this, that power, as verse 11 and 12 show us, belongs to the Lord. Might and mercy, David says it. God had to say it twice to him. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Steadfast kindness, loving kindness belongs to God too, in Christ Jesus. And thou renderest to every man according to his work. So he welcomes the broken, the needy, the sinful. He can do all things. And he doesn't look down upon those who are powerless, who need mercy. When we pour out, hiding nothing. So honestly, holding nothing back, and then finally hoping in Him or trusting in Him. My soul waits upon God. He is my salvation. Verse 1. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Verse 5. My expectation is from Him. Verse 7. He is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. And then our verse. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. So we are to trust Him, hoping in the Lord, focusing our heart, leaning on Him and Him alone. There's no better place to the Lord than to go to the Lord with everything in our heart. No safer place with all our needs. And so that's what we are to do also tonight in this prayer day. When we look ahead, maybe what's in the future, what holds for us, we don't know. God knows. We have seen in this past year how quickly a year can change. We have had years of unparalleled prosperity, but we don't know if God is pleased to give that still to us. And so, I don't know, maybe the worries multiply in your mind. Maybe you are overwhelmed. Will I still be able to provide for my family? Will I be able to keep my job? Will we be able to move around freely? Those kind of questions. How is that going to go with politics? What about the laws that are being passed? Will we be able to freely worship the Lord? What kind of world are our children going to grow up in? Will my children, maybe that's your question, will my children continue to serve the Lord? Or maybe even very, very close to home, just a day-to-day stuff. Will he help me the next day or the next hour? Those might be questions in our minds. And in all those situations, the Lord says, trust him, trust me at all times. At all times. Pour out your heart. Don't leave anything off the table. When are we to trust the Lord? When are we to pour out our hearts? Well, at all times, we already saw that. Just as we have to trust at all times, so we have to pour out our hearts as we trust him. That's a way of trusting him. At all times, we have to pour out our hearts as well. Children, here's an example for you. Do you see that mother over there? She's in the temple with her family. But she doesn't look very happy, does she? She's sad. You know what? She has a desire in her heart. And so far, the Lord has not listened to her prayers. She loves to have a baby. But the Lord has not given her one. I think you know her name, don't you, children? It's Hannah, yes. And then there's something else that really bothers her. Her husband is also married to Peninnah, her husband Elkanah. And she's secretly mocking Hannah. And at a certain moment when she is at a feast and they are together celebrating before the Lord, and the Lord has said, you need to come with happiness before my face. When you come 3 times a year, come with joy to the Lord. But there she sits, and she can't hold it anymore. She is deeply grieved, and She goes away. She kneels somewhere close to the temple. Her lips are moving, but we don't hear her voice. And there's the high priest. He comes and sees her. He approaches her. He doesn't know what is in her heart. He doesn't know her grief. And unfortunately, those days were not so good, so the high priest thinks that Hannah is drunk. And what is her answer? This is her answer. No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do you see that? It's exactly our text. Hannah came before the Lord and she just brought everything. She didn't hold anything back before the Lord. And she was not ashamed. She was not ashamed. Because she already hears from Eli, the Lord has heard your prayer. And indeed, a year later or so, or several years later, she's able to bring a son to the service of the Lord. And she brings him to Eli. She says, this is the child I have prayed for before the Lord. Do you remember? Samuel prayed for by the Lord. Do you see? God is a refuge for people like Hannah. Your situation might be a little different, but God hears those who pour out their heart before Him. That's what it shows. Here's another example. Jeremiah. He was not such a happy man often, and he was living in the time of the exile. And tears were often running down his eyes, and he prays at a certain moment, so burdened for his people. He comes before the Lord and he says, Lord, let not the apple of thy eye cease to exist. And it means God's people. He is so concerned about the next generation. Maybe there are some here tonight. About the children. And what does he write then? He himself writes in Lamentation 2 verse 19, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. So there's concern about children. And he says, this is what you need to do. Pour out your heart before, like water, just let it flow before the face of the Lord, just as our text says, before Him, in His gracious presence. So when we find ourselves in difficult situations like exile, or when we are concerned about our children, the next generation, the Lord says, come, pour out your heart. Pour out your heart. He will favor, He will hear through the Lord Jesus. He will answer. Maybe it seems to wait. Maybe there might be a no. We don't know always how God wants to answer. Ultimately, we are to trust Him at all times, right? We may pour out our hearts, and He is the one who answers also in His way, at His time, according to His wisdom. Trust Him at all times. At all times. Now, we see here difficult situations, but you may say, but I don't have so many difficulties. Well, thank the Lord for that. When you find yourself in times of prosperity, relative prosperity, then still, trust the Lord at all times. You may come with a happy heart before Him. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you come before Him. With praise and thanksgiving and adoration. You may come. You may trust Him. Also in times of, whether it's prosperity, whether it's adversity, at all times. What a blessing that is. What a relief that can give. God says to us tonight, come at all times. Pray without ceasing is somewhere else in the scriptures. What a comfort. What a comfort that He says that to us tonight. And then it's even greater comfort when we consider this last question. Why? Why? Why should we pour out our hearts? Well, we can first say the text commands it. David writes it to us as the best advice that he can give, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but also God commands it. But this is even better. Because there is no one more glorious than the Lord to whom we pour out our hearts. He is that Lord that David writes about so freely. He is my salvation. He brings salvation. Salvation, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately. That's where the Son poured out His heart. That's the Son, salvation in His Son, who poured out His heart in Gethsemane with strong cryings and tears. He shows us the example how to do it. With strong cryings and tears, he empties his entire heart and life before the Lord. Why? To bring salvation to His people. And he was hurt. And he feared the Lord as he did so. He trusted his father. He honored his father. No matter what was going to happen, no matter what the answer was. And that's not all. He did not just pour out his heart. He came to this world to pour out his life. His life. Overwhelmed with grief and by the wrath of God, he pours out his lifeblood. Everything that he has, he dies. He spills his blood, but it is not spilled. It is so precious and so powerful. His life had to flow from him all the way so that he can hear our prayers and can save us in troubles, but especially when we come with our sins. That's ultimately why you and I can say, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my defense with David tonight. The Lord is my refuge and he is my rock. Rock. The rock that is higher than I. When we feel in the muck, all the way down in the bottom, in the mud, I mean, he lifts us up and puts us on the rock, and he brings stability in times when we feel unstable. He brings shade. That mighty rock brings shade when life seems to beat us. And he brings shelter when we feel exposed, sinful. He's a rock. And that's ultimately why you and I are invited to pour our hearts before him. We look to the one who, when poured out his life, said, Father, in thy hands I command my spirit. When we pour out our hearts, we do exactly the same thing. We command our spirit, our life, into his hands. For him there was no refuge at the cross, but for us there is. He had to carry the wrath of God. David says it to us tonight, God is a refuge for us. Selah. And there we find a safe place in God through Christ Jesus. We find a hiding place, cleft in the rock. And that's not all, even. He poured out his heart, he poured out his life. And bless the Lord, he pours out his spirit. He pours out his spirit. He went to heaven to make intercession for us at the right hand of God the Father. How precious. We have a strong and mighty plea there. But he also went there to then pour out his heart to the Father on our behalf so that he can pour out the spirit of supplication and prayer upon his sinful people, that when they look to him upon whom they have pierced, they weep. To pour out his spirit for those who are dead in trespasses and sins and they become alive. Or his people who are weak and weary and discouraged and don't know how to go on. He pours out his spirit and puts new strength in them. That's why we may come tonight to pour out our hearts. Oh, all you people, Christ is the reason. Christ is the reason that we are here admonished to come and trust him at all times, that we are here admonished or exhorted rather to pour out our hearts before Him, before the Lord. And that's why you and I can find shelter and a refuge in times of storms and droughts and difficulties and trials, and find a hiding place in the Lord. Pour out your heart through Christ at all times. Amen.